This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Charmaine Yost, president of Americans United for Life. Dr. Yost will be one of the panelists testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee on the nomination of Judge Sonia Sotomayor to be the next Associate Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. We also want to get her thoughts on some components that may be included in the Senate version of health care reform, including the return of taxpayer-funded abortion. And Dr. Yost, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's great to be with you.
Let's start with the confirmation hearings. Dr. Yost, what message above all else do you want senators to hear about abortion and specifically abortion in connection with the nomination of Judge Sotomayor?
Well, Greg, I think there's been a real misconception out there that there isn't a whole lot known about her stance on life issues. In actual fact, there's quite a bit of information, particularly connected to her service on what people are calling PEARLDEF, the Puerto Rican Legal Defense and Education Fund. She served on their board of directors for over a decade, and during that time period, it's an abortion advocacy group, took six amicus briefs forward to the Supreme Court in which they argued against very common-sense abortion regulations like parental notice, informed consent, bans on partial birth abortion. So our argument is that this is very relevant information that the senators need to pay attention to, and that it connects directly to her judicial philosophy. And as we see a pattern coming forward of her being a judicial interventionist, we believe that goes directly to the question of whether or not she's qualified for the Supreme Court.
What do you expect in terms of questions from the senators in previous testimony? How have they generally responded to what you've said? Is it based on their own preconceived notions, or do you find that they're actually listening?
Well, we've been working very hard to meet with senators and with their staff ahead of time the last 2 weeks across the aisle, both with Democrats and Republicans. And some of the feedback that we got last week was that there's an argument out there that because her service on the board was quite a few years ago, and that it was quote-unquote only board service, that somehow that makes it irrelevant. And frankly, Greg, I just see that as being an argument that's just a little too clever by half. To set the standard that board service doesn't matter and that somehow you aren't connected to the intrinsic activities of an organization really, really just doesn't fly. And it's important for your listeners to understand as well. During the time period that these cases were going before the Supreme Court, she served as board chairman for some of that time. And a part of that time, she also served as the chair of their litigation committee. So to now try to put some sort of distance between her and their public statements related to the law really just doesn't wash.
What is the criteria for your thinking in terms of what constitutes qualified or disqualified based on her record at the Puerto Rican group or otherwise in terms of heading to the Supreme Court?
Well, you know, I'm really glad you asked that question, Greg, because sometimes there's a misunderstanding. As a pro-life group, we are not asking the senators to say, are you pro-life? Are you supporting abortion? The important point for everyone to understand is that her personal opinions are not supposed to matter. This country is founded on equal justice under the law, and that's the overriding principle that we want to keep emphasizing. So we want to be consistent about that. However, she has been on the record as saying that she believes that judges set policy. So she's already on record as kind of stating that her viewpoint of a justice's service is kind of as a super legislator. Well, when you've got a record in her background, an activist pro-abortion record, where she has taken very extremist positions that are far outside the mainstream and that run in opposition to legislatively passed policies, the fact that she has been on record as saying that judges set policy, that's the connection there to her judicial philosophy that's very troubling.
We're talking with Dr. Charmaine Yost. She is the president of Americans United for Life. And Dr. Yost, another issue that is coming up to our attention now is the health care debate and the different components that are coming together in this legislation, which may be voted on in the House as soon as the end of this month and later this year in the Senate. It's the Senate version that is getting a lot of attention on the abortion side of the debate today because of what we see as taxpayer-funded abortions possibly being included in this bill. What do you know about it, and what would be the impact of that?
Well, that's exactly our concern, is that the message that we're taking up to the Hill on both the House and the Senate side is that there must be an explicit exclusion of abortion funding in health care policy. Well, this is really, you know, it's interesting, Greg. Part of the challenge is that under this administration, there's just been such an avalanche of anti-life activity. And while we are focusing on the Sotomayor hearings coming up next week, we do have this threat of so-called health care reform, including abortion funding. And if this kind of a mandate ends up in our public policy, in our health care system, that's just a radical, radical shift in how we vote, how we view abortion. You know, as you well know, Planned Parenthood and their compatriots have for many, many years been trying to elevate abortion to a fundamental right, and framing it in the context of healthcare. And so that's exactly what you see going on in the debate right now. And it's the threat that we face of ensuring that we do not, you know, charge forward into a future where abortion is firmly, firmly placed on the healthcare footing.
Take our listeners back a little bit before the Hyde Amendment was in place. So that's been 30 years now since that has protected taxpayers from federally funding abortions. What would be the impact of this on the frequency of abortion or on taxpayers if, in fact, this were to return?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I always want to retreat to basics. What you subsidize, you get more of. And so there is absolutely no doubt that making abortion part of our health care services and having it taxpayer-funded, you would absolutely see an increase in abortions. And, you know, what's really, really troubling to me is you keep hearing coming out of this administration that we need to find common ground on abortion. Our response is there's a lot of common ground on abortion. One of the most fundamental pieces of common ground is that the American people do not support taxpayer-funded abortion. Somewhere in the vicinity of 80% of the American people oppose that kind of policy. And yet this is exactly what's barreling down the pike right now, something that 80% of the American people oppose.
Charmaine, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you so much for your time today.
Great to be with you. Thank you, Greg.
Dr. Charmaine Yost is president of Americans United for Life. This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.